And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 271. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday evening around these parts, so we're going to talk some player rater, first half and second half. But before we do that, some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntro, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan, how we doing, my friend?
Not too bad. You know, baseball world trying to get me down with this Nate Eovaldi devastating news. I thought about proposing a candlelight vigil like we did with Luis Rengifo, but would not be the same. Eovaldi was not a mascot. So we only hold funerals and vigils for mascots that are out for the year. But still pretty devastating news, especially because he pitched so damn well, even his last start. So I don't know. A lot of people out there with good teams with Eovaldi on it, and you're just going to have to try and patch it together over these last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep, very, very brutal. We'll get to that here shortly, but a big bummer, especially if you did a 2026 draft already and your first two pitchers were Zach Wheeler and Nathan Eovaldi. Now they might both be back by opening day. You never know. But this doesn't give you the old warm and fuzzies, folks. So, man.
It's funny that so Luis Castillo pitched tonight for the Mariners and gives up 5 in the first inning. Sure. Goes four scoreless after that, I will add. But the Discord gets on me for picking Castillo in the 11th round of the meatball draft. For some reason, you just get a pass.
I even put in the Discord, I said it. It sucks. I threw it out there.
I know. No one, I don't know, man. They just, they love picking on me. That's fine. I'll take it. But yeah, tough start for your 2026 squad there.
That was like a couple of years ago. I had Scherzer and Yuri Perez. So yep. It's not that I've never dealt with before. This is the beauty of it all.
It can be overcome. It can absolutely be overcome.
Because unlike Scherzer and Yuri, they were pretty much out for the season. These guys are, I have a hunch I'll get at least 15 to 20 starts out of at least one, if not both of them. So I can live with that if I build accordingly. So,
and at least you know now, as opposed, and you still can draft, 39 more rounds that we have to do. So
yeah, be a little more aggressive in the pitching departments when it comes down to when we maybe my first pick of the 12th round will be a starting pitcher that's higher up on the rankings, because I wasn't going to, but now that things might have shifted in that direction.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some news and notes here. We'll go deeper on Nate Eovaldi, the great Eovaldi. And it's funny because I was actually looking while we were talking. Almost every post from every beat writer says likely out for the season. Pretty sure he is because the Rangers are dust. But rotator cuff injury, likely out for the season. He's 35 years old. I'm pretty sure he was a free agent, if I remember correctly.
I think he's got one more year.
Okay, he might have one more. Okay, good. So, again, maybe there's like, screw it. It's bad enough. He's done for the season. Let's get him ready for 2026. That's what my gut's hoping for. But what are you seeing here? Because he's a drop, obviously. The rotation is DeGrom, Corbin, who's just 8 just dominant innings on Tuesday evening from Patrick Corbin. Jack Leiter's been great. Merrill Kelly's been good all season for whoever he pitches for. But they have an opening now. Where does your head say the Rangers go here?
I don't know where they go. Do they have anyone in the like Kumar Rocker's down
Kumar
in
Rockers,
your, AAA? That's probably him.
That seems like the easy answer. He's only gone 4 4⅔ in his. Let's go minor league innings here. He hasn't pitched since August 7th because he's been injured in AAA, so that could be an issue. He got shelled in that game. The guy I'm looking at, and I'm hoping they can stretch him back out because he made some spot starts earlier this season. Then he went to AAA, and that's Jacob Latz. He was very good in his spot start action. He had like a five inning one run spot start. He had a 6 inning two run spot start. He had some good moments in there, but for the most part, he's been a bullpen guy for the Rangers this year. And that would be the guy I would hope for, but I don't know what they're going to do. It's a mess all around.
I mean, even if it was Latz, I remember talking about him a few fab episodes.
Big strikeout stuff.
I don't know. Got to be pretty desperate.
Yep. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and we are in a desperate final month of the fantasy baseball season. So I guess we'll see where that goes. But otherwise, I'm really curious who they bring up because they have options. Ty Block is down there if that tickles your fancy. Yeah. They have some AAA options. None of them are that good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Jonah Tong. We have another prospect getting called up by the New York Mets. They already called up McClain. Now we get Jonah Tong. This is a guy that many people have been asking for, clamoring for in the Discord and on Twitter. And they're going to get him. He's going to make his MLB debut on Friday versus none other than the Miami Marlins, Ryan. Any thoughts on this Jonah Tong situation? We talked briefly about it before the show.
I mean, this is pretty fascinating and something that, I mean, I think he only made two starts in AAA, so it was a super fast riser, Jonah Tong. This is somebody who, and we'll talk about this in just a sec, if Jonah Tong stays in the rotation, anybody who lost Nate Eovaldi this week, myself on a bunch of teams, kind of has to be interested in, right? Like it's been an absurd, like 40% strikeout rate for Jonah Tong, mostly in AA. Came on his walks like 30%, ton of whiffs. Like every single skill in the minors looks fantastic. Even the workload, like that's the other thing I kind of look at. I believe Jonah Tong's at 113 innings exactly for the second year in a row. So like Jonah Tong could pitch the rest of the season really without restrictions, and the Mets need all the help they can get. They are in a dogfight for the wild card, I guess still an outside shot for the NL East. So if Jonah Tong can stick in the rotation, this is, I think, a pretty priority add just based on the skills that we saw in the minors alone. Like who knows how much of it translates against the majors. The start on Friday will have a lot to do with Jonah Tong's fab price. It's just, I mean, we'll shift the conversation now. Like Tyler McGill is probably coming back pretty soon. The Mets do have five healthy starters. Like, is there room for Jonah Tong long term? Is the question.
Yes, and it comes down to what we've been clamoring for. Clay Holmes, find the bullpen.
That seems go like back. Go back to your home, Holmes.
Yes. Are you too good for your homes? Yes, send Clay Holmes back. Sean Manaea did it again on Tuesday. Four outstanding innings, gets blown up in the fifth inning. That's a trend right now. It's maybe a piggyback situation there, which wouldn't help Tong if Manaea is the piggyback, but you get where I'm going with this. There are opportunities to make this work. Even Kodai Senga has not been ideal, and he's coming off an injury last year, maybe help limit his innings. So six-man rotation could be in play. A lot of ways to make this work if they wanted to. It's just we'll have to wait and see how Friday goes with Jonah Tong. So we'll talk about it more on Fab on Thursday. Still speculating because we won't know till Friday. Randy Rodriguez didn't come in to save a game on Sunday because his shoulder was bugging him from Friday. Randy Rodriguez went on the IL with a right elbow sprain, is what they're calling it. Randy Rodriguez will get a second opinion on his elbow. Ryan Rocker's the closer for now. This is not good if you spent $99 and a $99 runner-up bid that you won in Fab earlier this year.
Yeah, those efficient Fab bids, they look good on Sunday nights. But
felt so good, but that whole I can't even think of what the term is now. If you want to go, just you know, throw me out there on Twitter for a bad take. Freezing cold takes. There you go. That was a good one right there because that did not pan out well.
What was also a good one is I'm in my head-to-head league that runs on Sundays. That team has Trevor McGill and Randy Rodriguez on it, and Trevor McGill blew the save on Sunday. And I was like, at least Randy Rodriguez will come in and get the opposing save. And then, Ryan Walker comes out. So that was a cool way to lose my head-to-head matchup. Ryan Walker, I would think, you're the Giants guy, but, Ryan Walker's pitched better of late. Warn and run over the last month. That's almost 11 innings worth of work with 11 Ks, four walks. The Ks are down a little bit, but, I don't know. We've got a month left in the season. Anyone can hold the role for a month. Ryan Walker hasn't been that bad lately. I feel like if you need saves and you just picked up Randy Rodriguez, do it again.
If you know a guy.
Fool me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just go back to that well. But Walker's the guy, right? About it.
There's no reason he shouldn't be, barring something really stupid, because, Bob Melvin, genius manager. You were waiting for that. I'm going to keep it calm tonight. Give the fans what they want. Calm, Bubba.
We'll try. At least the first half of the show.
Yeah, we're not talking Verlanders on the show. We're good. Even though he pitched okay tonight. But his brother probably will cry and get up front support. But we'll see where that goes. But yes, Walker should be the closer. Walker should be the closer in this one. It's just the strikeouts are down, but like you said, he's been outstanding. There's no reason he shouldn't be the guy. And it just requires the Giants to actually give him save opportunities, which they have not done well this season, at least over the last month, I should say. So, yeah, Walker's the dude. Randy Rodriguez drop. Move on.
Ryan Walker's pitching the ninth as we speak, up three with two outs against the Cubs. Beautiful. And a save opportunity.
Beautiful. There you go. See? So
Bubba can be happy. Ryan Walker can be happy. Ben Verlander can be happy. It's all good. Justin Verlander, obviously happy.
So. Justin Verlander's second win of the season. Oh, man. Beautiful.
So we're all happy tonight.
Beautiful. All right. The A's aren't happy. Jack Perkins went on the IL over the weekend with a shoulder injury. And then Jacob Lopez went to the IL with a forearm strain. He is going to get a second opinion as well, which is not good because forearm strains usually lead to one thing, Ryan. And now he's getting a second opinion on that one thing. So those guys are gone. Osvaldo Beto was an opener on Tuesday. Joey Estes, who hit Victor Robles, got a bat thrown at him, was recalled and pitched on Sunday. It's a mess in Oakland, as well as they've kind of depleted their once deep options in the minor leagues or on the IL. So what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, they basically have an entire rotation on the IL. They do, until Severino comes back. Remember the Hog? Gunnar Hoglund?
He's the Hog. Bad. It's bad. Yeah, to your point, Severino should be back after one more rehab start. So that is, I guess, something to potentially look forward to.
It does give, and I think he was going to be in the rotation going forward anyway, but Luis Morales is pretty much locked in at this point. Looked good at Seattle this past two weekend. Last two starts. It's been 11 Ks, two walks in his last two starts. The Seattle start gave up two hits, one run, six Ks, no walks at Seattle, which is, of course, a great place to pitch. I would not trust Luis Morales at home in Sacramento right now, but if you can stream Luis Morales on the road, which he would get, I think they line up at, St. Louis next week. Luis Morales faces the legend that is Miles Michaelis on Tuesday.
Ooh.
So,
that's a good matchup for Mr. Morales right there.
So, Luis Morales is at least streamable on the road and should continue to be in that rotation because the A's have nobody else to turn to.
Yep, I'm with you there. I picked up Morales at least in one league this past weekend. Love that opportunity. They still have one more spot in the rotation until Severino comes back. So does Joey Estes get another look? I think that could be the case. I was really bummed because Brady Basso's back, and I picked him up in so many DCs this past year, but they're using him out of the bullpen because he tore his arm apart. So Mitch Spence could get us there. It's bad all around. They need Severino back is what it comes down to. It's terrifying. Last bit of news, Joey Ortiz on the IL with a hamstring injury, supposed to be a minimal stint on Tuesday. The Brewers said they expect Ortiz back at the beginning of next week against the Philadelphia Phillies. So keep that in mind for you Monasterio fans.
Yes, Monasterio actually hitting somewhat well, playing shortstop every day, but that will be temporary.
Yep, very, very temporary, like Randy Rodriguez in the Giants closing situation. All right, with that being said, let's get to Bloom Board Tuesday. And it's a doozy because it's tough this time of year to get content that makes sense. And this is actually one that checks the boxes. So Ryan comes through in a big, big way as he still has to prepare his photo at the 23rd week of the season. But what are you seeing here for the Bloom Board tonight?
All right, so what we're looking at here is the player rater. So Fangraphs has a player rater. Razzball has one as well. I think RotoWire, but Fangraphs is freely available to everybody. And they have it split out. You can do it by month. You can do it by half. You can do it by week. There's just a lot of ways to slice and dice player rated data on Fangraphs, which is pretty cool. Support Fangraphs. What I decided to do is just take the hitters and look at the hitters who have the risers and fallers from second half player rating. This is 5x5 leagues, right? So batting average, runs, homers, RBI, stolen bases. Ones who have risen the most or fallen the most from second half to first half. So on the boards that we're looking at for the YouTube crowd, I've got each hitter's ranking. And the ranking is dollars per plate appearance ranking. So this is not, if you went to like the Fangraphs player rater and just looked at straight ranking, this won't totally match up, but I wanted to take playing time out of the picture and just do it per plate appearance. So that's where these ranking numbers come from. And then we've got the second half stats for both these risers and fallers. You've got the top 15 in green on the left side. We've got the bottom 15, which to me is just super fascinating. Like Aaron Judge is way down there, which is, we'll probably get to him, but we've got the bottom 15 in red on the right side. Needed to qualify, needed to have 200 plus plate appearances in the first half, 100 in the second. So we're not just looking at outliers there. So these are guys who've logged a ton of playing time, both halves, and these are the ones who have risen and fallen from first to second half.
Yep, this will be quite the scene. And we'll start at the top here with Matt Shaw, who I know to many, myself, I dropped him at one point in time, you know, big time helium guy in draft season, got off to a horrible start, went back to AAA, but in the second half, has turned it on, hitting .298, 9 home runs, 18 runs, 18 RBIs, 4 steals. He's the 16th player on the player rater in the second half of the season, if I'm reading that correctly.
Yep, 16th hitter. Sorry, 16th yeah, these hitter, are all right. Hitters for rankings. Yep.
Makes sense. .235 in the first half, so massive jump here with Shaw, and he's been a guy I'll even admit in the second half when I've been writing stuff and looking at things, I'm like, I can't buy in when I should, but to your point, he's been very, very good, and that's why different sample sizes are good to look at when it comes to baseball. So what do you have on Matt Shaw with the improvements we've seen here?
And this is also why we just don't give up on these, I don't want to say top prospects. Matt Shaw was, he was pretty widely regarded, but wasn't like elite prospect, but you just never know when it's going to actually click. The first time around, the second time around, the second, third season around, you just never know. And I'm not saying Matt Shaw is in the clear at this point, but certainly you've got the second half stats that are on the screen, but it's really supported by a nice dip in strikeout rate. Raw power has gone up quite a bit. And I think the nice thing with Matt Shaw is he's continuing to run. You've got a pretty green light in Chicago, and I don't see that really changing going forward for Matt Shaw. So for as much as like Matt Shaw was labeled this major rookie bust in the first half, he's going to end up with 15 steals, 11 homers is what he's got right now. Like, that could be really good, especially if you kind of chop out that first half, because Matt Shaw was dropped by a bunch of teams when he was sent back down. There's really no reason to hold him. So very nice rebound for Matt Shaw, and probably a fab pickup that, like, we love to talk about these triple-digit bids. Like, I don't think Matt Shaw went for very much in fab when he came back up the second time.
No, he was kind of an afterthought or people just didn't care type situation later on. Like, even in 12s, he kind of just floated around on the waiver wire for a while. He wasn't a auto pickup when he returned. So definitely a guy that, if you did your due diligence, paid off quite well.
Yep.
The next one here, it brings a smile to my face, because we don't get a lot of, we get a lot of stuff right. We also get a lot of stuff wrong, right? So that's kind of the beauty of this deal. Britton Doyle is one. Every time we've seen him come up on a board, I think both of us keep buying in on Britton Doyle. Like, we look at his stats, we look at the, like, I'm a believer in, you know, what's going on off the field can definitely affect you on the field. And he had some serious things going on there. He seems like time has healed that potentially, let alone his skills are portraying themselves on the second half. And Britton Doyle is now the fifth best hitter on the player rater in the second half of the season, hitting .394 with 17 runs scored, 7 homers, 20 RBIs, and 4 steals. It's crazy. If he stays this hot, which is a big if, that's quite the streak, Ryan, he could still get to 2020 this season, because he has 14 homers, 13 steals, hitting .244 with 50 runs and 50 RBIs. I guess there's a legit chance by the end of September, we have a guy hitting .255 to .260 with 20 homers, 20 steals, 70 runs, and 70 RBIs. And in the end, all things considered, really good season.
Really good season. It's a smile on your face, because you took Britton Doyle in the meatball draft, what, 9th round? Something like that?
9th round. And then I picked him up in like 3 fab leagues before the streak this year. Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped on this one coming through.
And I don't even think, like, unlike Matt Shaw, like, the skills have been slightly better in the second half for Britton Doyle. I just think, like,
well, they were always good. That's why we liked him.
I know, exactly. Like, I remember doing a homer to barrel kind of leaderboard show from our live bloom boards, and Britton Doyle was at the bottom of that in terms of most barrels without home runs in the first half. And yeah, like the strikeout rate hasn't really changed that much. It's just the hard contact is now turning into balls over the fence and a huge swing in BABIP. It was like a 240 BABIP or something in the first half, which is why he was hitting below 200. So this was, I don't know, like you said, we admit all the time when we get things wrong. This seemed like one of the more obvious second half rebound calls. That's coming through. And I think, again, looking forward to 2026, I feel like Brenton Doyle will be on a lot of quote unquote sleeper / rebound lists for next season. The rebound has already been in progress for a couple months now.
Yep. Totally agree with that one. So keep buying the dip while the dip is there is the best way I can put it, because I don't think it'll be there much longer. Andrew Vaughn, many people, I think, I'm going to speak for many people, I think are expecting this hot streak to slow down at some point, and it's just not with Andrew Vaughn. He's the 54th hitter in the second half, which honestly surprised. Figured that'd be a little better. He's hitting 283. Maybe they factor in batting average more in the play rater. Again, play rater rates things differently. But Vaughn's hitting 283 with 7 homers, 27 ribbies, 17 runs scored. He has no steals either, so that probably affects the player rater a lot. But overall, from a guy that was essentially DFA'd by the Chicago White Sox of all team to become a must-start cleanup hitter in the best team in the National League, pretty good stuff.
Well, and that's got to do something for you. Just, I mean, we're talking about off the field stuff with Brenton Doyle. What about like your mentality? I'm not saying Andrew Vaughn was 100%. Dogging it with the White Sox, but like to go from the White Sox and like not even being on a team to just being thrust into the NL Central race, and just when Vaughn, I think the Brewers were pretty well behind the Cubs when Vaughn signed, and yeah, like that's got to be a major boon to just your outlook on how you approach things. So I don't know. I've never been an Andrew Vaughn guy. Like this has been a good second half for sure. But like you said, I mean, 54th, I probably won't be in on Andrew Vaughn much next year. I just feel like he's the just kind of somewhat high floor but really low ceiling type, that even with the super heater, it's 7 home runs in a month and a half, almost 2 months, no steals. Like, I don't know. It's been a nice run, but I don't see a whole bunch of it holding going forward.
Well, a couple of things I'll throw in there is what's made it so great is first base sucks in fantasy. So he was a gift. He was a gift in the fab world. He's been with the Brewers since July 7th. Yep. So that was a big plus. Second, I like him in 15s when he's getting drafted past pick 300, because you could usually pencil in 260, 20 homers, and like 150 or 60 combined runs and RBIs. Like, that's fine at corner infielder. He's not going to go past pick 300 now, to your point, and that's why it'll be hard to be in on him in 2026, because there's a lot of questions. Is he sticking around with the Brewers and they still have Rhys Hoskins and company lying around? Like, they can make it work for the rest of this season. Do they make it work for next season is a very interesting question as well. So that's, again, more 2026 talk, but love what he's doing now. Definitely over his skis, it feels like. But he's admitted in the past he was miserable with the White Sox, and who could blame him at the time? So, yeah, new lease on life goes a long ways.
Yep.
The next one is for you, Ryan.
Let's go. No, man, I need your
No, I'm going to give you the introduction, but this is for you. That's what I'm saying. This is your guy. Michael Harris II. In the first half was the 188th hitter, which to me is still pretty high for what he did in the first half. But he's up to ninth. He's four behind Brenton Doyle, which is good. One behind another player we're going to talk about later. But Michael Harris has been just monstrous. 349, 10 homers, 23 runs, 24 ribbies, 3 steals. He's been awesome. He's hitting cleanup a lot for the Braves now in the second half of the season. He's cooled down the last week after hitting home runs like 7 straight games. Oh, but
last week.
Okay. But I just had to throw that out there. But yeah, your boys raking. The problem I have, Ryan, and you even hesitated in the meatball draft. Are you going to keep settling for he sucks in the first half, but the second half is great every single season?
I don't know if I can, man. And I was going to take him in the, what did Dom get him in, the 6th round?
Something like that, yeah.
I was prepared to do that. I probably would have done it. It's not a third round price like I was paying last year, but yeah, like this, yes, I'm happy Michael Harris is doing this. It at least salvages something. It's still, even with this surge, it's still a bad season for Michael Harris. It's 16 homers, 15 steals, 250 batting. It's getting there. But like, I don't know, man, this sucks. Cause I don't want to have to draft this guy again. I really do not want to draft this guy again.
Yeah. It was a pretty easy fade about a month ago. He was like, he's done, dead to me. And now we're back at it.
But like, well, I mean, what do you, so, I mean, you're not the Harris guy. Like, does this change anything for you at all?
No, I'm not putting up with it. Like he's amazing. We know he can be amazing. I'm just not, it's not happening. Not up in here.
It is crazy how consistent, for as inconsistent Michael Harris has been, you look at his season end homers and steals, first year, 19-20, second year, 18-20. Then he had a dip, 16-10 last season, this year, 16-15. He's going to get right back to what he does every year. It's just like the roller coaster is just not, it's not good for us.
If you draft him, you almost just have to,
he just has forget to be he's on your team.
He has to be your Gene Segura. Just plug him in and go, I want the stats by the end of the season. So here it is. And that's no way to live life. But yes.
But I will probably take Michael Harris in six rounds again. I don't know.
And I know I'm being pretty like, oh, I'm never taking him. Yeah. Everyone's got a price. If he falls closer to round 10, I'd be in. I don't think that's ever going to happen. That's not going to happen now unless he like breaks his arm in the last month of the season, which I do not wish upon anybody. But I'm like, that's what it's going to take basically to drop him to the 10th round where I draft him type situation. Because round six is usually when I start thinking pitching. So it's tough to take a Michael Harris at that point in time.
Yeah.
Matt Wallner, surprised to see him up here. He's a 74th hitter in the second half of the season. He was hurt a lot early on, but he's hitting .233, 17 runs, 9 homers, 16 RBIs. He double-donged on Monday, hit another home run on Tuesday. So basically, when I see this stat line, Ryan, he's doing what Matt Wallner does.
He's doing what Matt Wallner does and what Joey Gallo does at times too, because the first half .244 for Matt Wallner was his ranking. That is that was actually worse than Michael Harris, Bubba. So
it's impressive. To be fair, they were drafted like 200 picks apart, so it's okay.
That's the proper comeback. You're on your game tonight. That's exactly what I would have rolled with. But no, I don't have too much with Matt Wallner. Like, he's going to be streaky just with all the strikeouts, but the massive power. It's just, how do you time it? Do you time it outside of platoons and lefty righty? It's hard to time much with Wallner. You just kind of take the good with the bad. It's been pretty good lately, but I don't think this is any kind of breakout or anything.
Nope. This is who he is. And if he's playing enough, he's going to be feasible. But otherwise, suck it up, Buttercup. Brett Beatty, you've been pounding this drum for a while, and I've jumped on it here lately in Fab. He's been very good. The reason I jumped on in Fab, I discussed it with Ben on Monday, is because he's playing every day now versus lefties and righties, which he was not doing even when he was hitting. So I'm like, I still can't do this unless it's the proper week. Brett Beatty's the 46th hitter on the player rating in the second half of the season compared to .214 in the first half, .283 average, 6 homers, 22 runs scored. A lot to be said about that. 11 RBIs and 2 steals. He's looked great. You look at his quality of contact. It's been outstanding. Like, he looks like a prospect that has taken time to hit to his level. What's your thoughts on Beatty?
Just nice to see Brett Beatty kind of winning out somewhat, though it does kind of look like it might be some kind of platoon, but I've never really been able to nail down the Mets infield this season. But like, Mauricio still every now and then playing against lefties, Beatty is sitting some against lefties, so he's not totally in the clear. But yeah, once the playing time started to hit, and Brett Beatty deserved the playing time that he's getting. You look at like any kind of rolling graph or anything from first to second half for Brett Beatty, both above the surface but also with the skills, like it looks really good. And like you said, pretty big prospect, still not that old, 25 years old for Brett Beatty. Nice to see an uptick in skills like this. I don't know what Brett Beatty eventually becomes. I don't know if he's anything more than like a serviceable or decent corner or middle type bat, but nice to see him at least be that for a Fab pickup that was pretty cheap in the middle of the season.
Agreed. Lubob's been awesome. 8th on the player rating, one ahead of Michael Harris in the second half of the season. 159th in the first half. It's a guy we talked about in the first half, Ryan. He's hitting .220, but he's got all the power, a little bit of power, and a ton of speed. Well, it's all caught up hitting .301 with 5 homers and 11 steals in the second half of the season. Left with a hamstring injury on Tuesday, so we'll see where that goes to finish off the season.
Jesus.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes to finish off the season. But White Sox didn't trade him, and he continues to be pretty good while he's been healthy.
That's the crazy part. Everyone, ourselves included, is like, oh, this guy just needs a change in scenery. And like, he's going to get traded. It's almost a sure thing, and just never happened. Despite all that, Lou Bob's been very good. I did not realize Luis Robert hitting over 300 in the second half. That's pretty freaking bonkers. Like, this is a, the perception of these guys, if you flip first and second half, if Luis Robert came out the first almost 2 months of the season was hitting 300, our perception of Luis Robert would be a lot different than the way he gets talked about, written about pretty much everywhere. So a nice in-season rebound from Luis Robert. It's not even that BABIP driven in the second half. It's like a 320 BABIP in the second half. He's truly cut down on the strikeouts. You know, the stolen bases are pretty much locked in with Luis Robert. Power can be suspect at times, but really nice to see more contact in the second half from Robert. And yeah, very impressive stuff from him.
Yep. And he's still going to be with the team for the next couple of years unless he's traded. So
yeah, why would they trade him now? They should have traded him already. So. Yeah.
Well, they've done this a few times, and Pirates do this. These bad teams are bad for a reason, Ryan. This is what they do. The mascot, Luis Ringifo, on a positive bloom board tonight, a positive one. He was 220th hitter in the first half. We dropped him. I dropped him. We discussed dropping him. It was ugly. Second half, 78th, which doesn't sound like much, but that's called a massive improvement, folks. Like 150-point improvement on the board. And he's doing what we hoped for, hitting 288, so he hit for average. 18 runs scored, 11 RBIs, three homers, four steals. Like, you'd want more power and or speed in this mix, but he's hitting for average. And like I told you, when I saw him in person, he looked like a wounded soldier. Like, he was banged up looking. He's playing through. He's playing through a lot of it. He's playing pretty well, but I don't know how invested I'll be next season.
Yeah, I think Ringifo came within, you know, 20 feet of the aura of Bubba and just turned it on. That happens to me. When we do the live show at FPAS, I just start glowing and I'm on a heater for like 2 months and then it fades. But just, you know, it's a good trait that you have, my friend.
I try to get the most out of everybody and love life and talk a lot of trash and keep making people laugh goes a long ways. Lenin Sosa, talked about him a ton on recent shows, and he continues to do it. He hits second, third, fourth in this White Sox lineup. He's a 38th player on the player rate in the second half, hitting 282, 8 home runs, 17 runs scored, and 28 RBIs. He's basically a better Andrew Vaughn, or at least an equivalent Andrew Vaughn. And Andrew Vaughn's getting all the pub, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So, yeah, I got so much Lenin Sosa. I haven't had to take him out of my DCs in a long time. Let's put it that way. It's been pretty nice in those streets.
And that's where I've got Lenin Sosa and a couple of draft champions as well, draft and holds. And it's first base, second base, third base. Like, right now, that is massively important in leagues where you cannot make fab moves. So, hell of a run for Lenin Sosa. This is the profile we have all offseason to kind of discuss this, but this is the type of profile I have no idea what to do with going forward. Like, on the one hand, Lenin Sosa is showing very good skills that support the second half. He's also 25 years old. Like, this could be a legit step forward. On the other hand, he was pretty much a nobody, a non-prospect, and is on the White Sox. Like, how believable is this two-ish month stretch, even if the skills support it? I don't have that answer. It's just something it's a type of profile that I wrestle with, kind of that like random young player who suddenly starts doing good. It's just a hot streak. Is it something to unlock that prospect folks did not see? I don't know. Case by case.
Yeah, we talked about him on the meatball recap because I think he went like in round 10-ish, give or take. And I get it. We talked about it. Like, I could see it. I'm curious to see where his ADP kind of starts to settle out after, say, at least a month of drafting, to see how many people are in on Lenin Sosa. Because, again, I love the skill set, and DC's that position flexibility is insane.
Yeah,
which you get to bring to the table. But 25 years old, it's a tough one. To your point of, is this who he is? Is he better? Could he be better? Could he be worse? There's a lot of levels to that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of levels to it. And it's also another thing. I know we have some questions later on about these boards, and one of the questions just revolved around a specific team. And I've always been a believer, at least like when I played or just playing like DFS and seeing streaks, because baseball is a game of streaks, it feels like. Teams like to streak together because of the vibes that come off the team. It just kind of goes that way sometimes. Like there's no, you can't find it on Baseball Savant. It's just kind of a thing. The White Sox have been having fun in the second half. They're a young team. They're playing well. There's a lot to be said about that, I think. So that'll be one to see how camp looks next year to see if that's the same vibe. Is this kind of where I'm going with that? Or are they back to like, oh, look, it's the White Sox, the last place team in the AL Central. Like, which is it?
Yeah. Which
long-winded way of saying I don't know what to do with Sosa.
To bring this back to Michael Harris, because all roads lead back to Michael Harris, that makes it even more impressive because Harris is doing this on a team that's just doing nothing and just gets injured. So, yeah, my guy's some more credit.
Michael Harris is on a bad Braves team, something I didn't think I'd say anytime soon, which is crazy as well. All right, a couple more. Joey Ortiz has been awesome. He's 81st. He's hitting 294. That's the big reason why. 20 runs scored, though. 2 steals, 1 homer. Love of Joey Ortiz. It's been a nice comeback, but still, outside of the batting average, it feels empty.
Yep, it has been. So, yeah, yes. I'm not that big on Joey. I think he just compiles. Good real-life player, but I don't know. Unless I'm missing something. Like, Joey Ortiz had a really good like first half of his first MLB season, but since then it hasn't really done much. And still 81 for his ranking in the second half among hitters. Like, yeah, that's good, but if that's your hot streak, then that's not good.
Agreed. Isaac Collins, your potential NL Rookie of the Year, unless Cade Horton somehow steals it from him. Isaac Collins, 51st in the second half on the player rater, 296, 18 homers, 18 runs, 3 homers, 20 RBIs, 4 steals. Honestly, a very similar line to Luis Rengifo in the second half of the season, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, no, this was one of your good calls.
Especially when I said Isaac Collins earlier, and Ryan goes, who?
I think I made a Tom Collins joke, which
yes,
beyond Brent. But yeah, no, this was one of your good calls. I laughed you out of the room with Isaac Collins a couple months ago, maybe 3 months ago at this point, and still don't really think Isaac Collins is all that great. But he's been good for 2 months, so congratulations.
Here's the man, the myth, the legend, and potentially an AL MVP candidate if it wasn't for this wonderful human called the Big Dumper up in Seattle. And this is Shea Bengaliers, who has been the number one player on the player hitter in the second half of the season after being 117th. In the first half, which will happen when you don't steal bases because you're a catcher. Bengaliers, the big question with him coming into the season, Ryan, is we knew the power is legit. It's like, can he hit more than 220? Dude's hitting 322 in the second half of the season with his 17 home runs, 30 runs scored, and 34 RBIs. That's video game stuff.
I knew Bengaliers was hot. It would have taken me forever to guess that Shea Bengaliers has been the number one hitter. Again, this is per plate appearance, and he's a catcher, so maybe it's not truly number one compared to guys who play every single day, but per plate appearance, and if you give the catcher bump, then Shea Bengaliers probably has been the number one hitter in fantasy in the second half. It would have taken me a long time to get to that. It's nuts, man. Like, the power, like you just said, everything you just said was spot on. We know what the power is like with Bengaliers. The batting average, yes, he's not going to hit 322 or whatever, but like K rate's actually pretty damn good. And Bengaliers is playing in this park. I think next year is he?
Yes, that's
not a free agent, is he?
No, he'll be back.
So he'll like, back. Just bombs away, man. I mean, Sacramento is just a freaking launching pad right now.
Yeah, Bengaliers is a free agent in 2029. He's ARB eligible in 2026. He's gonna get paid. Let's put it that way. He's making $770K this year. Congrats, Shea. Oh. You're about to get a fat paycheck coming your direction. At least a nice raise. I'm guessing he'll be at least the $3 to $4 million range coming out of this season, because they'll still fight this one because they're the A's. But he's gonna get a nice bump.
Is this enough to move you? Because I don't know if you knew Bengaliers was this good either. Is this enough to move Bengaliers this close to William Contreras as number two catcher? You took Contreras in the meatball draft, so
he's out there. Contreras hit another home run on Tuesday. His second half has been outstanding as well. Yeah. Langoliers, I love him. I love everything about him. Terrified to draft him. Now, obviously, it's the old adage, if you draft accordingly and you have batting average set up and then all of a sudden he does hit for average, like he has hit a ball down the line right now as we speak for a two-out double in the ninth. Like, he just keeps raking.
Jesus, on, like as we're talking?
Yeah, that's why I said literally just hit a double down the line. Off it's Kyle Finnegan with two outs in the ninth. Is it's a 5-5 game.
Oh, no.
It's just, he just keeps doing it. And it's a great question. Let's put it that way. I think a healthy William is still better. I think healthy William, you could argue if you believe the dumper takes a regression step, could be a number one. Dumper's still number one. Not going to argue that. Langoliers is very close to your point. I can't go there yet, but he's very, very close. The comment I was going to go with is for 2026, again, everything's going to turn into 2026 talk throughout these shows for the rest of the way here. Langoliers, Kurtz, Rooker, so many guys. Last year, Ryan, I remember I pounded the drum on this as a hitter's park. A couple others did. A lot of people said it wasn't. I think we all know it is now. How does ADP change this year for a lot of players is where I'm kind of sitting back. Like, do we get an extra bump with some players? Obviously, it's just an open question we'll answer at a later date and time. But because we saw Kurtz go early, we saw Langoliers go early. Are we going to see more of that come draft season?
Most likely. Yep. Because we have that year, we have that data point. So,
all right. Ozzie Albies, this one. Now, this is where I really love these boards because, like, I think we all knew Langoliers was playing good. It obviously got, we found out how good. Ozzie Albies, people have been cutting. People have been saying is dead, a lot of things. And it hasn't been great. He was a 192nd hitter in the first half. He's up to 76th in the second half. Again, not great, but still, that's a massive improvement. The dude's hitting 248, 18 runs scored, 3 homers, 21 RBIs, 5 steals. He actually double-donged on Tuesday. Yep. If you update this tomorrow, it's even better. This is where I like these boards, because even if you don't like them the rest of this fantasy season, it opens my eyes to look into 2026.
It absolutely does. And Ozzie Albies, like, again, good luck trying to time this. Ozzie Albies has been really good for entire seasons, for multiple entire seasons in the past. Ozzie Albies is still just 28 years old. It feels like Ozzie Albies is older than that. He's been around for quite a while. Yes, the Valleys have been pretty bad, but I feel like this is just what you get with Ozzie Albies and, draft accordingly. But I can see myself being in on Albies next year just because the price will be pretty low. But nice to see at least a partial rebound here in the second half. And like you said, with 2 more homers on Tuesday, that will make it 5 in the second half for Ozzie Albies with 5 steals. Like, and you kind of prorate that out, that's kind of what Ozzie Albies does, and he compiles and does all that. So nice little rebound for Ozzie.
Definitely. We're going to skip Tommy Pham. We know what he's done. He's got his vision. He's figured things out. He's still a tool, but he's productive in the fantasy world. I want to hit on Bryson Stott real quick before we go to the faller side of things. And it's more of a testament to a takeaway for the entire 2025 season. We started taking it away in 2024. Bryson Stott, one of the big bugaboos was, okay, he's not going to play every day. It's going to lower his draft cost. Okay. And even to this moment, he still sits for his lefties. Still sitting versus lefties. Doesn't change. But even with that, Ryan, he went from the 154th hitter in the first half to 41st in the second half for a second base position that's not great. He's hitting 286, 3 homers, 7 steals, 17 runs, and 15 RBIs. Bryson Stott, I know I have him in my OLAC that's doing pretty well as my second baseman. I got him for cheap because of the platoon situation. So my point is, as more and more teams platoon more and more, maybe we shouldn't be as concerned if at least we're on the strong side of said platoon.
Yep, absolutely. And it's interesting. You know, for as bad as Stott was in the first half, he's basically on track to do the same exact thing that he's done each of the previous two seasons. And that's hit low teens home runs, steal 30 bags. Batting average is varied. Batting average varies with a ton of guys. That's just the sake of the category. But this is what Bryson Stott does. And even though you don't even want Bryson Stott playing against lefties. Like, he's hitting 214 against them in 94 plate appearances, no home runs, no power at all. You don't even want him playing against lefties, but you get so many at-bats, especially in a good Phillies lineup. Like, I don't know. I feel like a safe second baseman that's available later.
Yep. Totally agree with you there. So something to keep in mind in your 2026 draft season. All right, let's go to the fallers side of things. And we're going to kick things off right out the gate with a guy that I've brought up on recent Fab shows, Fab previews. And that's Elliot Ramos, who I absolutely love. Big time Elliot fan. If you look at the season totals, they're fine. But the second half of the season, he is the 173rd hitter on the Fangraphs player rater. I mentioned I dropped him recently in 12s. It was a discussion point in the Discord. In 15s, he's benched for me if I have the chance right now. In the second half, Ramos is hitting 254 with one home run, one steal, 14 runs, and 8 RBIs. That's about as vanilla as it can possibly get, if not worse than vanilla, Ryan. So I'm actually glad he's on this list because love the talent of Elliot Ramos, but it has been really bad.
It has been really bad. And pretty much the whole season for Ramos outside of May. Ramos hit 6 homers in May, hit like 350 in May, and every other month has been pretty rough. So I don't know. I thought that Ryan, I don't have much Ramos this year. I thought the hype was like, I just thought the price was a little bit too high. A lot of really smart people liked him, but yeah, not what you expected in terms of a step forward for Ramos in an age 25 season. Not to say he can't do it again going forward. He's still plenty young enough, and this could just be a rut. And again, we saw in May what he's capable of doing. Saw at the end of last season what Elliot Ramos is capable of doing as well. But yeah, pretty much been a complete Gene Segura for you with one homer, one steal, 8 RBI in almost 2 months.
I will be looking into the dip on Elliot Ramos, though. I will say that much.
Okay.
Riley Green was the 12th hitter in the first half, down to 108 in the second half, which surprised me because everyone's talking about how much power he has. He had a grand slam on Tuesday night. But in the second half, Green's hitting 214 with 7 home runs, 18 runs, 17 RBIs, and a steal. Slightly worse than Matt Wallner, who was a riser. So very interesting with Riley Green, who I don't have a ton of shares of.
Ditto. Some of this is the drop just because Riley Green was so good in the first half that he kind of pops on here starting from number 12. Some of this too is a pretty brutal BABIP in the second half and elevated in the first half. So it's kind of just, I don't know, balancing out the batting averages. So I don't know. Riley Green, the power's still there. Like, he's hit a grand slam on Tuesday. Still has 8 home runs in these less than 2 months in the second half. So, like, I just feel like with a good stretch of balls that just fall in, like, Riley Green will be fine and the power's there. So I'm not too worried if I'm a Riley Green owner for the last, you know, month of the season.
Yeah, TJ Friedl, we don't have to talk about it. He's been banged up a ton. He's been on the IL. It feels like every 3 weeks with a hit-by-pitch or something.
Yeah.
Brandon Lau. He went from 40th to 137, still hit with tons of power, which has been discussed. He had the 6 home runs in the second half, hitting 244. Honestly, that's kind of who I think he is. Like, he was really good in the first half. Like, when he's hot, but once he gets banged up, this is Brandon Lau.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what it is. You can't depend on Brandon Lau for more than a month at a time.
Well. Look who we have here. And just a friendly reminder to those that might not be watching the YouTube feed, I don't make these boards. I have nothing to do with this board.
You should try make one maybe next week. God, we'll do a Bubba board.
It would be a yellow piece of paper. It'd be bad.
That works.
Will Smith, Ryan. Will Smith. 10th in the first half, 112th in the second half, 3 home runs hitting 221. What do you have to say for yourself?
10th in the first half's pretty damn good, I would say. I would also say Will Smith homered again tonight, so that would be 4 homers in this quote-unquote terrible second half, which would put Will Smith at about a 300 batting average with 16 home runs on the season so far, which is very much a top 5 catcher, is what I would say about Will Smith.
Yeah, we'll see if he continues to do this, Ryan. He won't be a top 5 catcher, though.
I thought I just blew you away there with my analysis, but you're silent. I think he'll be fine.
Will Smith, it'll never go away.
Well, we could argue. Yeah, we could do a whole freaking podcast arguing about this guy. Had a great September last year. Remember, you were.
As I was saying, he'll have a great September again, just to shut me up, and we'll move on. So, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not worried about Will Smith at all. He's a beast.
This is one that brought up some talk in the Discord tonight.
Yeah.
Ellie De La Cruz went from 6 in the first half to 109 in the second half. Ellie De La Cruz is hitting 245 in the second half. One home run. 6 stolen bases. I don't know which one's more surprising,
I know,
to be honest with you, out of those two numbers. On the season now, he's still hitting 273 with 19 homers and 31 steals. So as a whole, you're fine. 90 runs scored. You're still good. But what could have been?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the season-long numbers for Ellie are fine, but man, this has been a brutal stretch. I don't know. I don't have much Ellie. I just feel like this is another one where you just start him and you look at what happens at the end of the season and don't sweat the month-to-month. Like, I just think that's, given the strikeouts, given the ground balls that Ellie De La Cruz hits, actually strikeout rate's better lately, so like hasn't even been that bad. It's just, yeah, I can't believe he has one home run. I can't believe he has 6 steals in the second half. That said, I'm also not really worried, right? Like, neither of us are the biggest Ellie fans, but like, I think we can both say, like, he's got a almost two and a half year track record, if you count the first half of this season, of being Ellie De La Cruz. So brutal stretch, but I just think it's a slump. I don't think it's anything worse or crazier than that.
Yep. If you like Ellie, don't panic. Enjoy. This is why we play Roto, not head to head. He's killing you head to head. You probably didn't get to the playoffs, and this hurts a lot. So
yep. We'll see.
What also hurts, if you're a Law Dog fan, folks, Law Dog was 63rd in the first half, 186 in the second half, hitting 151. I'm sorry. 4 home runs, 1 stolen base, Ryan. And tonight I watched him pop out to the catcher, and the catcher dropped it, and they still got a double play on him. So it's not good for Lawrence Butler right now. Yeah, he thought it was a foul ball. The third baseman catcher, they missed it. It dropped. They turned 2. It was not good.
Then that is Butler's fault, because the guy in first can't do anything about it.
No, wow. Butler's got to hustle.
Yes. That's crazy. Butler, this is another tough one. Is this just, was 2024 a one-year wonder? Is 2025 just a down season? But even still, Lawrence Butler has 17 homers, 17 steals this season. Like, probably going to get 2020. Yeah, the batting average has been bad. Strikeouts are up a little bit, but like, I don't feel like Butler's been awful. Again, I don't have much Butler. I was not a Butler fan entering the season. The splits are terrible. Like, he is for as bad as who we were talking about before against lefties, Stott. For as bad as Bryson Stott has been against lefties, Lawrence Butler has a 216 OBP against left-handed pitching in 97 plate appearances this year. That is straight awful. So it's a platoon guy. I'm pretty confident in that, but I don't know. This could go many ways, but I feel like Butler at the end of the year, like, the stats are still going to be there, even though it's been really brutal lately.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where this keeps going, because I think he's still young enough to fix things, but it's not ideal, to say the least. Carson Kelly, don't have to talk about him. This is kind of expected. Second half swoon as he played over his head. Aaron Judge, he went the reverse Bengaliers on us. He was the number one player in the first half. Aaron Judge is 135th in the second half. Aaron Judge is hitting 195 in the second half of the season with 5 home runs. The rest of the stats are not great either. But it's been a dreadful second half. He was hurt even when he came back from the IL. Slow start off the IL. Still not even really clicking in full Aaron Judge fashion. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried, I guess, for the rest of this season, because you don't know the extent of the injury and just him not, you know, the flow of Aaron Judge's season was derailed. I don't want to say he's playing hurt. I have no idea, but it is an awful coincidence. It is just interesting how, for, I did not realize Judge was this bad. I feel like he's gotten a pass, which is for being this bad, which for Aaron Judge, for the captain of the Yankees, to get a pass for being this bad. Maybe we're not plugged into New York City media, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I don't need that. Nope.
Us out here on the West Coast, we don't really care.
You think I hate Bob Melvin? Oh, man, if I was in New York media, we'd have some problems.
I just feel like I haven't heard much about Aaron Judge being this bad. 135th hitter in the second half, Aaron Judge. And that's not even because of the injury. Again, I'm factoring in lower plate appearances. This is per plate appearance. Aaron Judge has truly, when he's been on the field, been this bad. Am I worried for 2026? Not at all. But I do feel like the season could be rough.
You better not be.
Yeah, I did draft him already.
Exactly. You already second, got a share.
Second overall, which I would still, I don't think I knew he was this bad second half. That still wouldn't affect. I would still do the same thing.
Agreed. A couple more here. Kyle Tucker went from eighth in the first half to 143. We found out he had a fractured hand. That's enough for me.
Yeah. And we have a Discord comment on this, but it's like, I feel like all I hear about is how bad Kyle Tucker is and not a peep from Aaron Judge. But
yep,
not worried about Tucker either. And I know it's 2 years in a row now of these kind of freak fluke injuries, which I think that's what they are. Maybe he's just a hard body to diagnose. I have no idea. But these last two seasons from Kyle Tucker don't really, I still feel like he's a top 10 player for me.
Agreed. That's still not going to phase. And if people are worried, I'll enjoy a second half Kyle Tucker. Bring it on. Like let's do it.
You can have bad injury luck 2 years in a row. It's not just because you roll a one. It doesn't mean you're going to roll a one again.
Yep. That made honestly no sense, surprised but... surprised for Fernando Tatis isn't on this list talking about these guys that have failed so much because he finally homered for the first time in a month. But
well that's only because you bet him. So
yes, naturally. Sedane Rafaela went from 38th to 183 as he's only hitting 185 with zero home runs, five RBIs, and six steals after he had like a 2 week stretch where he was a god. That goes to show you how bad he's actually been. If you take that stretch out, it could be like, wow, how's Christian Campbell not playing over him type stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Did not realize this with Sedane Rafaela either. Don't have too much Rafaela, so this has not been on my radar, but. Pretty hard to play every day and have five RBI. The second half, almost 2 months, five RBI. Like you're hitting 185 with no homers. Like that's terrible. At least he's running with six bags. But Jesus, that's
you know what like I'm pretty sure. Segura. I'm pretty sure it coincides with what I was pissed off they did in the first place, moved them to second base. That's what they did to him last year. They took him out when he's in center field doing his thing. He's a gold glover, plays well. They did this last year, moved him around, and it messed him up also.
It's funny. They did. He was mic'd up on the Sunday night baseball broadcast this past week for the Yankees game, and they asked him about that. And Rafaela said it was a really awkward interview. His English isn't that great. It's loud. Like it was not a good watch. But Rafaela said he was most comfortable in center field, like flat out said he's more comfortable in center field. So I you kind of have to believe that. And take him at his word. He's not just playing along with, you know, being a company man. He's like, yeah, I'm more comfortable in center.
Yeah, oh, okay. Pretty stupid stuff some teams like to do. Let's just group these next three out of four together because I guess I should have grouped them with Kyle Tucker at the same time. Chicago Cubs.
Oof.
Yes, the Brewers have overtaken them in the Central, and it might be because their offense is not good right now. Michael Busch fell from 23rd to 177, hitting 195 in the second half. Mr. MVP, Pete Crow Armstrong, ain't that no more. He was third in the first half, down to 167. That is a humongous drop-off for PCA, hitting 218, three homers, and only three stolen bases in the second half. And then Seiya, I'm the next, never mind Suzuki, 18th in the first half to 190 in the second half, two home runs and two steals, right? 181. This whole team is not great at the moment, and these are some of the biggest pieces of it, and they're all struggling, Ryan.
That is crazy. Four of the bottom six are all Chicago Cubs. I'm most surprised at Seiya Suzuki, to be honest, because unlike Michael Busch, Seiya Suzuki has a track record of being good for multiple seasons, which Busch doesn't have, but Busch hasn't had the opportunity. He's pretty young, but I don't know, kind of had the feeling Busch was playing over his head. And then PCA, like, I don't know, man, the plate approach is just so wild. It's like, you're just going to be prone to this stuff. Selfishly, I'm kind of glad to see this from PCA because he was becoming that like league winner player that I have zero shares of at all. Like did not even think about PCA. back in draft season. So that's been selfishly, again, somewhat nice to see, but not if you're a Cubs fan. This is brutal. But yeah, Seiya Suzuki for me, unless there's some type of hidden injury or something. I mean, he's the worst faller from 18 in the first half to 190th in the second half. And I don't really have a good explanation for why.
Yeah, it's bonkers. I'm really curious to if we ever get any news on what's wrong with these guys besides just the slump. Maybe it goes back to my point. Some teams all streak together, good and bad. Who knows? But this is really bad with the White Sox. Like Ian Happ's not on the list because he hasn't really been good overall, but he's not great in the second half. Dansby Swanson's been good, but still not great. Like, it's just a bad offense right now all around.
I mean, on the other side, Matt Boyd's falling apart. Cade Horton had that epic stretch, but we know he's not that great. So yeah,
ironically Matt Shaw was at the top of the other board.
Yeah, that's true. Matt Shaw is just sticking out by himself.
Yep,
it's interesting.
Yeah,
but no, it's been a tough go for Cubs fans the second half, and pretty easy to see why just by looking at this.
There's a reason why I was doing really well on Underdog in the first half of the season, because I had Cubs stocks everywhere. Yeah. And then you get through to the first round of the playoffs, and then
I'm with you. I don't think I've got two teams still in it, but I don't think either are advancing.
Oh, well. All right. The last name on the board here is James Wood. Was ninth in the first half. He was just out of this world good. Everyone's talking like, could he be a top, you know, 5-6 pick in the draft? Down to 166 in the second half, hitting 209 with two home runs, two steals. A lot of it people blaming the post home run derby. But I will say, like, over the last 2.5 weeks, hitting 290, two homers, 12 RBIs. Still striking out a ton, though, which is interesting with James Wood. What are you seeing on him? Like, again, to me, super young guy. I'm not too worried about this.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I'm kind of checking ourselves. So why can we say that about James Wood but not PCA?
That's fair. It's very fair.
I mean, I don't have it right. I'm not, like, trying to call you, because I would say the same thing.
No, that's fair. I guess. Know. Maybe it's just my biases. Like, I actually like James Wood going into the season. I had zero desire for PCA. Because to me, PCA's power was a fluke. He could speed for days. Where Woods, I actually believe, is a 30-30 talent, unlike PCA.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense. The strikeouts for Wood have been alarming, like you said. That's pretty rough. What he's got, like, a 54% contact rate in the second half. I'm using Baseball HQ's contact rate there, but that's horrendous. That's probably a 40% strikeout rate in the second half for James Wood. So I don't know, man. Like, even still with this, like, horrendous second half for James Wood, it's still 26 homers, 15 steals, 260. Like, still a pretty damn good year from an age 22 pretty much rookie. So going to be very interesting with James Wood in the offseason. I have no idea what I will do with him. I probably won't take him because I don't like these super variance guys in the first few rounds.
Yeah, I'm still very interested. I agree with the variance part in the first round, especially for someone like yourself that does more 15s than 12s. You don't want to deal with that. It's tough just because he'll be 23. It's another year older, which is great. It just depends on, like, I think myself and some others, maybe I think you did as well, we had high expectations for this Nats offense coming into the year. Has not met those expectations. And the first half was a little better, for sure. Second half is really quieted down. And that's, I think, another factor to it as well. Yep. So, all right. Any final thoughts on the Bloom boards here? Some really, really interesting names to make you think. I'll say that much.
Exactly. And I mean, I think my biggest takeaway is, I mentioned this earlier with somebody, but it's the timing of these slumps, these hot streaks, and how we perceive everyone's focusing on their football drafts right now. And all this stuff's going on where Shane Langeliers is the number one hitter. Aaron Judge is the number 135 hitter, like, that. I don't think, unless you're really tuned into this stuff, you know what's going on. And honestly, I don't know, though. Like, how actionable is it with some of these guys? Like, Aaron Judge, you're still playing all the time. These good guys, you just kind of ride it out. But some of these fringe guys, and certainly looking forward to 2026, is something to take account for.
No doubt about it. All right, let's get into some of the listener questions, and they come from the Discord. Let's pull them up here.
They do. The Twitter failed me again.
Yeah. That's a no trend questions. These days. Show questions on the Discord. Here we are. All right. First up, Aaron Giff says, drop Butler in a 12. I keep thinking he'll turn it back on, but I'm losing hope. Yes, drop him.
You're the 12 guy. I'd be hesitant, but that's my 15 brain. Like, yeah. Okay, drop him.
There should be ways to replace him in 12 is what I'll say, hopefully. Okay. Martin Sikulski says, bigger disappointment in the second half, Ellie or PCA? Somewhat similar profiles with the same underlying weaknesses. Each has incredible stolen base upside, but even that didn't happen.
I would say it's got to be Ellie.
Yeah.
Just because you drafted him as a cornerstone. Like PCA, anything in the second half is gravy where you took him. But yeah, I'll go Ellie.
Yeah, no, that I'm with you 100% there. It's Ellie just for the price. Like PCA actually going into the second half probably had more hype behind him, which seems insane to think about. But yeah, Ellie's the one for me as well. D Sawa says lots of Cubs on the red list. Coincidence or nah? I think a little bit of both.
Definitely no coincidence with that. You know, this explains why the Cubs have been bad. Is it a coincidence that they're all slumping with the exception of the number one riser, Matt Shaw? I don't know. There is probably something to it.
Mailman Mike says, Michael Harris, is he doing enough in the second half to pull people back in for next season?
Let's pull
Ryan back in, folks.
I've seen victory laps on Twitter like about Michael Harris, and I'm like, I like Michael Harris. And I'm like, dude, he hasn't even...
Oh, our big buddy Joe Arico's had some fun with that one. I've watched that.
Hasn't even returned anywhere close to third round value. Yeah. But yeah, he's had a great month. So I don't know.
I want to say the good doctor had some Michael Harris. There's been a few of those out there where you're just like, yes, he's been really good in the second half. But to your point, has he met the draft capital?
Right. You can't do an I told you so for a month and a half of Michael Harris when he's been this bad. So
6 months.
Like I said earlier, I hate that Michael Harris is doing this. It's good for the teams I drafted and held on him, which was all my leagues. I did not even in the Vegas league, the 12 teamer. I held strong the whole time, but God, I can't do it again. But I will. I'm sure I will.
Yep. Moose says, "Law Dog, 1 year wonder?" Question mark. Possibly.
That's what no one knows.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it's weird. I was lower on Law Dog than like all you people entering the season. I think I'm higher on him now. I don't know why, but.
Oh, I'll be back in. Like I loved him in the Fab 2 years ago. I was all over that. Like I mentioned, I think I wrote him up in a playing time tomorrow. I'm like, oh, let's do this. I didn't draft him pretty much anywhere this last year because the price went through the roof. I was like, I'm not in. But I think where you're going with that is if this price plummets, oh, we're back, baby.
Yeah, like that.
He's basically Michael Harris, but maybe better in a better ballpark.
It's too late.
Harris has done it more. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Harris is a better batting average. I'm not debating. It's too late for this shit, man.
Gotta stir it up real quick.
I don't know, man. I just think Butler, that the problem with Butler is you can have weeks where the A's are on the road. You could have weeks where it's like four righties, two lefties. It's tough from a weekly standpoint. There could be some brutal stretches there, which is what we're seeing. So I don't know.
Yep. Everybody, Michael C has a not really a show question, but interesting that for all the justified Tucker concern, Judge has been about as underwhelming post All-Star game. Yep. He's
we
fully agree.
It was Michael C. who kind of, spurned that thought. But yeah, I won't be listening to New York City media to get more Judge takes.
And Kevin Hastings says, I was just looking at that about the Judge thing. Since the All-Star break, number 99 is 99th out of 169 amongst qualified hitters in WOBA.
That's not great. Not great at all.
Yeah. So we'll see. The bright side is if anybody can destroy a September to make you forget about all of this, yes, Aaron Judge can do that.
Which is why I took him second. Yeah.
I think he's hurt. Like obviously he's hurt. He came back quickly from that deal. He's still not throwing the baseball in the outfield. Like they rushed him back to get his bat in the lineup, and I think he's more banged up than we're knowing about. All right, well, that'll do it, my friend. Another episode in the books. We'll be back with everybody on Thursday night, talking Fab. Any final thoughts on the final thoughts of this episode?
Final thoughts on the final thoughts. Just quick shouts. Scott B. Burke sent a show question. With a month left in the season, can we get a beer bet update on the pod this week? Don't have an exact count at this point. More just best back napkin. I think I'm going to get pretty drunk in Arizona.
Yes, yes.
As a result of this, I think I'm up on you by like 6-3, 6-4, something like that, with more to be decided. But we will do a full beer bet show shortly after the season where we're kind of diving on each one and what we were thinking, drinking, whatever at the time, and how it panned out for us. So more to come on that one. But things are looking good here for the second year in a row at Bubba in the Bloom North.
Looks like I'll be buying the buckets of noons for the golf cart again this season. So yeah, that works. Par for the course. But again, that'll wrap it up, folks. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I am on Twitter at BDEntric. And until next time, this is Bubba and the Bloom episode 271. Catch y'all later.